Hi, and welcome to the first episode of Peak Podcast. I'm Jake Mercier, one of your hosts, here with
Brad Fervanza
and Aiden Bay.
And so our show is going to be about tech and movies, and we will hopefully start pushing out an episode once a week, and we will talk for about half the show about movie-ish things, half the show tech things, sometimes more movies, sometimes more tech. And I don't know, it just sort of depends, and we're just sort of going to go with the flow. So.
Yes, and it won't be as boring as Bradford's making it seem. So, okay, I actually want to start off with a story that I found that was kind of interesting. Lionsgate might be expanding the Hunger Games franchise into some prequel movies, sequel movies, and a theme park. Bradford, what do you think about that?
I think that'd be kind of interesting. I don't think the Hunger Games needs a theme park, honestly. Like, that's stretching it a bit too much.
That's kind of weird. What are they going to do? Like, you're going to walk in and they're just going to kill a bunch of kids? Oh,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, hello. I'm putting right? up my AK. Yeah, let's...
Yeah, what is that?
Welcome to AK Land.
I don't know how they're going to do some sort of theme park with that.
They don't need to make a theme park. It's called Bass Pro Shop. They can just go. Yeah.
I'd be interested to see how they turn it into prequel and sequel movies, but...
I don't know. They're making Mockingjay into a second part.
I think that was too much as it is, because Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1, if y'all saw it, was too little of a story to fit in that one movie, and I think they could have fit both of them into one movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there even books to go with the new movies they're making?
No, they're just gonna keep dragging it on. The first three movies,
Stop. But, Harry Potter, how they tore up the last one, the seventh episode of Harry Potter, that was very well done.
Yeah,
but this is not.
I mean, we can all tell they're all just trying to milk money out of the franchise. So, you know, we'll see where that goes.
It's a cash cow. And, and Lionsgate has, they haven't been making all the big blockbuster movies lately. So they're just, stringing it out.
Yeah, they have. I mean, they've been making Divergent, but they're trying to
expand their revenue streams.
Obviously. But I'm just worried to see, how these are actually going to turn out. And theme park, I hear they're trying to make it like that new Harry Potter theme park kind of.
Yeah.
Thing at Universal.
The Harry Potter thing is actually
built into
dumb.
Universal. Though.
Yeah, that's built into Universal.
Does Lionsgate have their own theme park by itself?
No, they don't. So they're talking with other theme parks to try
what's that theme park? The it's the one where Charlie Brown is.
No idea what you're talking about, Bradford.
No,
Bradford,
Carl
I think
Fung
you might be the only guest at this theme park. I don't know. Okay, I also have something else I want to talk about. Is 2015 is one of the biggest years in movies, people have said, since 1933, 1994. 1933 had Gone with the Wind and...
that was a good movie.
Yeah, and a lot of other iconic movies, as well as 1994, which had a lot of other movies as well. So people are speculating that 2015 is going to be just like that. And I would definitely agree, because I have a list here of some big movies that are coming out in 2015. Avengers Age of Ultron. Which is my most anticipated movie for 2015.
I don't know. I think the whole entire Marvel comic book movie things is a bit...
I like it. Yeah. I think, you know what? I do think... I think they're beating DC right now, because all of their stuff goes together so well.
Yeah, some... Or just comic book movies. Sometimes they're done very well. Other times they're just sort of like... Mean.
Well,
Guardians of the Galaxy I thought was a meh movie.
I liked Guardians.
They did a great job with special effects and stuff. And makeup, I think it'll win the Oscar for that. But... I just don't know. The stories turning them into movies is sort of weird. But the Dark Knight trilogy was a great job of a comic book movie.
Yeah, I agree. But I do think Marvel's on a roll right now with kind of tying all their movies into one series.
Yeah, they are on a roll. But their new TV series.
Oh, I don't
ABC,
like the new TV series.
Yeah, that
you know
that's
who's winning?
Just weird.
I would say DC is losing in the film industry, but DC is winning on TV with their shows like Arrow, The Flash. They have so much new stuff going on there.
Yeah.
That Marvel show, Captain Marvel show, which I don't think anyone...
No, the Agent Carter show.
Agent Carter, that's what I'm talking about. Captain Marvel, Agent Carter, right. And their other show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I did not like. So anyway, another movie that's coming out is Star Wars Episode 7, which I actually heard a lot of news about... J.J. Abrams, he's been talking to people about that new lightsaber, that's got the hilts on the side that... People are thinking, okay, well, what happens when they swing it around? Are they going to cut their own hand off or something?
Yeah.
Stephen Colbert did a really funny episode on that.
And, I'm hearing that there's that J.J. Abrams was talking about how they did have a lot of the same conversations about those, but...
I think it's such a little thing to get caught up on.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are just trying to speculate because they've only released 88 seconds of footage.
Yeah.
I mean, that one trailer was so short. Mm-hmm. People are getting really excited about that. Some awesome stuff that I want to mention here. Well, not so awesome for the filmmakers behind American Sniper, but SpongeBob SquarePants, the new movie, on Friday.
I think that is just sad.
Wow. Yeah, and guess what? It's number one at the box office right now. Number one at the box office. It's beating American Sniper.
That is just so damn sad. And
American Sniper is number three right now behind Jupiter Ascending, which made $6 million on Friday. I mean, Jupiter Ascending is that new film by the Wachowskis.
But the American Sniper's been out a couple weeks, so you expect... Yeah. But it's doing very well for how long it's been out.
Yeah, and it's actually the number one grossing war film of all time right now. So
yeah, for sure. It's a great...
Okay, spit it out, Bradford. I haven't seen it yet, but I do want to see it. I haven't
seen it yet either, but it does a great job taking a story that's very close and dear to our hearts and making it like a movie within a couple years of it happening. Like most war movies, it's like, oh, World War II, which was like 50 years ago. And like our current generation, we didn't grow up in it, you know? So it's sort of like, ooh, that's kind of cool. But this happened and most of us experienced it. So it attaches deeper into us, like the meaning of the story.
Yeah, and now the SpongeBob is beating it at the box office. And you know what? A lot of people actually, the Hollywood...
That shows you where American priorities lie.
Well,
today ISIS has blown up, or today ISIS burned a fighter pilot. Ooh, SpongeBob.
Yeah, right.
That was like.
Well, I mean, I think that's just so far away from home that people are starting to think about other things like that. But SpongeBob, the SpongeBob movie, it'll obviously drop down. What?
Are the reviews good for it?
Probably not. I'm just gonna go out and say no. Jupiter Ascending is that other film that came out by the Wachowskis and. It debuted at South by Southwest, and everyone said it was horrible. I don't know if you guys ever heard anything about
that. I haven't heard about that movie, no.
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
Probably a reason why, but that's number two.
It's strange how Black Hat isn't even in the top 10, and it hasn't been out a week and a half.
Yeah, I saw stuff on that.
It was supposed to be a really good movie, but it came out the same weekend as American Sniper.
Yeah, see, that's hard.
That was just stupid, because like no matter how good Black Hat was, like, even if the reviews were decent, if it comes out during American Sniper Weekend, I want to go see American Sniper. Sniper. That was stupid.
I think the only people that would, like, prefer to see, like, a hacking movie over, like...
It's like us. American
Sniper. Yeah, it's just, like, people who actually care about computers.
Yeah, and I... You know what? Telling you guys, it's not even in the top 10. So, I don't know what happened to that movie. I completely forgot about that until you guys just said that. Something else. Okay, so... You guys seen Avatar, right? The 2009 movie. Yeah. Sorry, it seems so long ago.
James
Cameron movie. Yeah.
How he now wants to film at 48 FPS. What a weird.
Okay.
Number.
Well,
48.
Well, yeah.
Gotta go to 60, man. Like 48's all choppy and weird.
Well, okay. So the Avatar sequels are underway right now. They're being written. Avatar 2, 3, and 4. So they're really putting up. They're shooting it just like they did the Lord of the Rings franchise. They're shooting all three of them back to back. Mm-hmm. Now the first Avatar sequel is planned to come out in 2017.
Wow,
almost a decade after the original one. Yeah, and it just doesn't seem like it's almost been a decade after
that's
one.
That's weird.
But Avatar 2 in
4K.
Yeah, and what they
8K. Yeah, let's do it in 8K.
Okay, Bradford.
I don't think they have the technology to.
Samsung had that new 8K monitor, and they had 8K, or the 8K, 8K
mon- something
the
that,
screen
yeah.
at CES, and they had demo footage, which they had to record with something.
Well, they could have just made it virtual.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so Avatar set up a kind of an online presence. If you want to go check it out, it's avatar.tumblr.com. They've got all this cool stuff on there. let me go check it out right now and just. See how it is. Apparently, they're putting a lot of, art that's got to go along with it. Yeah, that's what it looks like. So they got a lot of concept art on here, which actually does look really cool. I think they're just trying to, get people excited for it again, which I think is going to be tough because a lot of people went to go see that movie for the visual effects, right? Yeah. But I mean,
it was a little bit of a let.
The story was not good.
The story was not good, but visually it did look great, especially for the time.
Yeah.
In IMAX, it was like a stunning.
Well, that does bring me into a different story because Avatar was nominated for Best Director back in 2010.
Yeah.
At the Academy Awards, and James Cameron's wife, or used to be his wife, was nominated alongside him, and she was nominated for directing a Hurt Locker, and she went. And she won, so...
They got divorced?
No, they actually got divorced before that, so it was kind of a weird thing. But that brings me a question. Why are there no female filmmakers out there?
because the world is a very gender-biased place.
I don't agree with that, because a lot of female filmmakers do make great movies.
That I'm not saying that. Yeah. I'm just saying it's like the technology field. The technology field is very biased towards white and American males.
I don't agree with that.
And it makes no sense, honestly. Like, girls can code.
What do you think?
Like, no, like, in the technology field, like... black, white and Asian males are the dominant people. Like, you go to any Silicon Valley company, and like Google just released its latest figures. And,
I mean, that's true.
And it's not overwhelmingly.
I don't think it's gonna that be, much longer, because already it's starting like programs like the STEM.
Yeah, like code.org and stuff like that.
I mean, I know there's a thing here in Dallas where it's like noon to noon, it's 24 hours of code. And then they also have like coding camps. I mean, just specifically towards girls and stuff like that.
And I do think that women should have a bigger voice. And I think that there's a lot of really powerful women. Actually, the movie Selma this year was directed by a woman, and she was snubbed for...
Selma is supposed to be a great movie. I might actually go see that movie tomorrow.
Well, she wasn't nominated for Best Director this year, although she was nominated at the Golden Globes. So that was a letdown.
Ooh, the Golden Budapest Hotel.
The Grand Budapest.
That was a weird movie. Like, I had a hard time following.
Oh, God, I love the Grand Budapest Hotel.
I really had a hard time following. It was hilarious, but I had a hard time following the story through it.
And actually, this year, speaking about the Oscars, the nominees were released in mid-January, and our Best Picture nominees are out right now. We have 8 this year, as opposed to the 9 last year. And then 2 years before that, there was 10 nominees. So
I don't know if we should even talk about the nominees, because American Sniper is going to win. So there's
the... The winner will either be Birdman or Boyhood, mark my words. But I do think the Grand Budapest Hotel definitely deserves it.
The American Sniper is going to win it, because it attaches into everyone's heart.
Well, I do think that...
Because that Chris Carr is an amazing story, who went out to... eliminate the world of enemies of the United States. Like, he was one person who, dedicated his life to protecting our freedom, and most people don't appreciate that, especially in the modern times. Like, most people are like,
I don't think it's where people don't appreciate it, but I think it's a kind of a thing where you see something on TV and you say, "Oh, that's
terrible," horrible. And you continue eating your dinner.
Well, yeah,
exactly. You know? Like that. Oh, we were watching Hotel Rwanda in world geography class, and Hotel Rwanda is a great story, by the way. And the press were trying to explain to the Africans there, they're going to think this is horrific, looking at the slaughter, and then they're just going to continue eating their dinners as if it never happened. And the Africans aren't going
to
come safe.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of hard for a person in a different country to, you know, say, okay, I'm going to go and do something about this. Because a lot of people don't have the resources to even do something about it, even if they do feel strongly about it.
True, but in all honesty, most people don't realize, everyone's going, oh, it's over there, let it happen. In my personal opinion, I might be a little biased on this, but if we don't tackle it there, it's going to come here. So we got to go to it before it comes to us. It can come to
that
the
wasn't the case in Rwanda.
That was different. No, I'm talking about ISIS and like Al-Qaeda. It's like World War II. Like, we're basically gone. We got to go to Hitler before Hitler comes to us. Like, and at the time, we didn't...
Okay, yeah, well, Bradford, I get it.
Back to Avatar, I actually found a pretty funny fact. Okay, so Avatar was the most pirated movie on the web in 2010, with 17,580,000.
Holy moly!
So that's kind of showing you, like, I mean, what I tend to see with movies being pirated is the fact that, like, if there's, like, a lot of buzz around it, but people don't necessarily think it's good enough, like, stupid to pay to see it, they'll pirate it. So, like, I mean, some of these movies, like, none of them are, like, serious movies. They're all, like, Avatar, Iron Man, stuff like that. That's, like, you know.
Other movies we can't name on here.
But. Yeah, but.
Because we're a family-friendly podcast.
Oh, wow, Bradford. Yeah, we just got done talking about ISIS and Hitler. So, very family-friendly here. Back about the Oscars, there are a lot of, you know, great movies this year, which a lot of the big movies that were big in the box office were snubbed this year. Even the Lego Movie was not nominated.
Yeah, that was the most...
I never saw that movie.
Yeah, but also...
It wasn't nominated for animated?
No, it was not.
What was nominated for animated?
Big Hero 6, The Box Trolls, How to Train Your Dragon 2, and then two other movies I've never heard.
Big Hero 6, tying into the way they rendered it on a 50,000 core supercomputer across like four different data centers.
Yeah.
That's just insane. You know, thinking about they needed a four different data centers.
Yeah.
Data centers with hundreds of servers. Like, and you're sitting there going, I'm making movies at my house and I got a super cool computer and I render it all in there. And Disney's like, no, we need data centers.
Well, they probably do if they're paying for it. So.
Sure. Yeah, but also, you guys seen Birdman or no?
No.
Okay, well, the Birdman cinematography, they shot it in a way that there were, it looked like the whole movie was one shot. So this year at the Oscars, there was when they were nominating, or they were releasing the nominees for cinematography, the president of the Academy had a crazy, like, mess up when she was talking about the nominees. So here's the clip.
The nominees are Dick Poop. Dick Pope for Mr. Turner.
Wow. She didn't mean that. She meant Dick Pope, okay? Dick Pope. So, yeah, I feel sorry for that guy. That must be horrible.
Yeah, that's his life now.
That's horrible. People are going to be like, yo, Dick Poop. I mean, Dick Pope. Sorry, Dick Pope. Yeah, those are my stories that I have. I also have one more crazy story that I do want to mention that Aiden doesn't want me to mention, but I'm going to mention it anyway. Okay, so you guys ever seen Captain America, the first Captain America? No, have y'all seen it? Just answer my question.
No.
I have seen The Winter Soldier. Yes.
The first guy. Okay, so there's this guy. There's this character.
The Winter Soldier's impossible. They aren't going to be giant hovercraft things that float up out of the air and like shoot everybody.
Yeah, I don't.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, because not going to happen. Movies are usually so realistic.
Yeah,
Batman's actually somewhat realistic. Like, imagine like ISIS taking over Manhattan. That could happen.
We're talking about ISIS.
Oh my God! Wow. Yeah.
We're a tech and film podcast, yeah. Not like ISIS podcast.
So, we need to secure the American border.
Gosh. Yeah, well, okay, Bradford. Wow. Okay, if you want to tune into Bradford's political podcast.
Yeah, make your own podcast.
Yeah, so anyway, back to my story, which was absolutely crazy and insane. So this guy, there was a Marvel villain, Red Skull, and he was a part of the, he was a crazy Nazi in the first one, since Captain America was actually taking
place. Why do we keep talking about Nazis?
Okay, just let me, hear me out here. So I'll show you guys a picture so you can react to it. But Red Skull is this,
yeah,
a Marvel character. And this guy was from Venezuela, was obsessed with him for some reason. He had some, I don't know, he was obsessed with the character, I guess. So he goes to some body modification place, gets the guy to cut off his nose.
Oh my God.
Tattoo his face red with all this other stuff to make him look like Red Face. And I'll show you the picture now, and we'll be able to put it in the description of SoundCloud or wherever we upload this somehow. If you want to look it up. Look at that cover.
Yeah, just everyone just go to peakpodcast.com.
Look at this. Can you believe that? So, I mean, if you can't, so this guy, I mean, Red Face is this guy with a really messed up face, and it's completely red, no nose, and this guy just, you know, goes and modifies his face, and I find that weird. A lot of people do the body modification stuff, which, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not a big tattoo-y fan guy.
I do have one last story before we go over into the tech news. So Amy Pascal is the president, was the president of Sony Pictures, and after the hack, you guys know the hack.
Oh yeah, the big hacking.
The big
yeah,
Sony hacking.
Oh yeah, I actually got a funny story about that. So when North Korea started doing that, Sony actually did a counter DDoS attack, which is where they took all their corporate resources.
Distributed denial service.
They took all their servers and just started like pinging them like crazy, and they actually shut down like the torrent nodes, and like they put up fake torrent nodes for it and stuff. So they actually did a decent job.
Yeah, and everyone thought it was out of the blue that Obama actually blamed North Korea for the attack. And all these security analysts are saying it's impossible, it's an inside job, it was this, it was that. But we knew it because we were in North Korea. The NSA was in North Korea. Like, so the NSA knew it happened because they were already there. And
okay, Bradford. Great. Awesome. Anyway, back to the story. So Amy Pascal, the president, is
trying to make it political.
Is leaving.
Hey, how is that being political?
Okay, yeah, we get it. Okay, so anyway, so Amy Pascal, she's gone. She's leaving Sony Pictures because actually a lot of her emails
got leaked.
Got leaked. And
isn't she in Parks and Rec?
No, that is Amy the owner. No, Amy Poehler. Amy Pascal is the owner of Sony. A lot of her emails were front and center for the cyber attack last year, and actually that was already last year, 2014, and so she's leaving because a lot of her stuff was leaked, and it really shows how crazy the inside of Hollywood really is. I mean, all the backstabbing and horrible people, you know, just trying to get their movie made, and all the crazy lengths they go to. So she's leaving. I don't know exactly what her next move is. I wouldn't be surprised if she just stopped making movies all around.
She's gotten to a point in her career where she's successful enough where she can afford to bail out. Or she'll probably go hiding. She'll go into like some investment hedge fund type thing for a couple of years. Come back out and run one more company.
I mean, all those people that own those companies are just businessmen and businesswomen. You know, Kevin Feige actually at Marvel is the exception. He actually does a lot of the creative and producing stuff at Marvel. But other than that, I mean, they're owned by a lot of businessmen and women. So so it's all business. Okay. So, anyways, if you guys have your tech stories ready to go.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and start it out with this. MSI at CES. This is a while ago, but we haven't really done a show since
we were planning CES. To do it earlier.
The GT80 Titan, the GT80 from MSI just came out. Has, I think, multiple Titans and SLI. It's one of the most interesting things is it is the first... it's the first laptop ever to come with a mechanical keyboard, which in my opinion, like, I get that you want a nice keyboard, but get a desktop and use it, because the laptop ended up being huge, and they had to do some really interesting stuff with it. Like, the touchpad had to actually be on the side of the keyboard, and the keyboard was on the very front end of the laptop, because you can't actually put any components underneath it. But they did some interesting stuff with it. Like, the actual laptop, when you buy it, you can buy a plan. So, I forget the time frame, but it's like every year or something, MSI will send you a new part to upgrade your laptop so you can keep it up to date.
And that's
it's
a good idea.
Yeah. It's, I think, around $4,000, but...
Yeah, another thing MSI announced at a CES was a laptop, which I just had pulled up here, but... Oh, but so the MSI laptop, it is a laptop that can graph or that can dock into a docking station where it can have a desktop grade graphics card because it has a full PCIe 3.0 slot on the laptop.
Okay, so it's could you also run like SSDs and stuff off of it?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, it's a full PCIe 3.0 port on the laptop, which is insane.
Does the computer have like does that have its own dedicated graphics card too?
The CPU or the computer has a dedicated Intel Iris graphics, but it is running desktop class Intel i7, desktop, not a mobile, which is insane for a laptop.
I mean, it's probably awful battery, but...
Yeah, MSI was predicting 6 to 8 hours, I think, which isn't that bad for it. It's not going to happen.
The two reasons laptops don't use desktop-grade components are because of heat and power consumption. So that's going to run way too hot, so it's going to have to under-throttle and then run slow because it's like doesn't want to overheat itself.
And I have a question. How do they do that where those computers won't overheat? Because my old laptop... Right when it started overheating, I mean, the fans kicked in, and I mean, it was so loud.
Because it's a MacBook, man. Don't buy Apple stuff.
But how do they do that? How do they keep it from heating up like that?
A MacBook right in front of you.
Anyways, yeah, true. Okay,
so they have temperature sensors on, like, CPU and video card and various components, and then once it gets to, like, a certain threshold, it'll spool the fans up to compensate for heat.
Especially on laptops, it sounds really loud. Louder than it is because they got really small fans in them, so they're spinning faster and faster. So the quieter it is, like, if you get a desktop, you have large fans, so you can have it near silent. Like on Asus's, what's the series of GTX graphics cards?
Strix.
They have 0 decibel fans on them because they're managing on them, so it's silent. And even when it does kick in, the computer can stay silent.
To clarify, the fans don't kick in until they get under load.
So until it's under load.
If you're just like browsing the web or watching videos or just doing that stuff, it'll be silent because the fans won't kick in. But of course, like gaming
or video editing and rendering.
I actually have a couple facts about CES that I looked up when you were talking about CES that I thought were pretty interesting.
Yeah, the Consumer Electronics Show, to clarify for anyone.
Yeah,
Las
Vegas. Over 20,000 products every year there.
Oh, yeah, no. You go read these horror stories. Go read about Wired Magazine, their editor. made all their journalists survive on one iPhone, no cameras, and no battery packs surrounding this place daily.
And yeah.
They couldn't charge it.
And just to show you guys how important CES is to the tech world, it's been running since 1967. And actually, the VCR was first released at the show in 1970.
Yeah.
And the Nintendo Entertainment System in 1985. And the game Tetris was actually shown first at CES in 1988. Yeah. Satellite radio in 2000. And in 2001, the first Xbox was released at the show.
Yeah, especially as big companies like the Xbox, like everyone starts off at CES, but as they grow, like, well, now there's E3 now, which is a gaming conference, so a lot of the game vendors do that there. But like people like Apple and stuff, they used to show up to like Macworld and stuff, but they now all have their own conferences. Same with like Google and Microsoft. Microsoft has Build, Google has CES I.O. and
a lot of hardware too.
Yeah, it's turned into more.
Did you guys get to see hardware? The Michael Bay at the Samsung
conference? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's where he could, where the teleprompter stopped working, right?
So Michael Bay was introducing Samsung's new, I think it was like OLED 4K, or it might have been like OLED 8K or something. It was new OLED, really high resolution TV. And his teleprompter stopped working. So instead of actually just like keep going on, he was like just kind of pause.
He's like, oh my god,
he's like, I'm sorry, I can't do it. So I'm gonna go ahead and play.
Oh, this was CES in 2014, not this year, just to clarify.
So let's see. Michael Bay, actually, if you guys don't know, is a film director, known for like Transformers and stuff like that. So here he comes out on the stage.
Today, my job as a director is I get to dream for a living. Michael, you know, you're known for such unbelievable action. Well, what inspires you guys? How do you come up with these unbelievable ideas?
I create visual worlds that are so beyond everyone's normal life experiences. And Hollywood is a place that creates a viewer escape. And what I try to do is, as a director, I try to...
He looks very uncomfortable right now.
Yeah, you can see when his teleprompter is working. Here. Right.
The type is all off, sorry, but I'm just doing this.
Tell us what you think.
Yeah. So we're with this one wing it right now. I'm saying people are on an emotional ride. And
the curve? How does it how do you think it's gonna impact curve. How viewers experience your movies?
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Okay.
He walks off the stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's play Michael Bay.
Most awkward thing ever. Yeah, they were showing, actually, I saw that curved screen at Best Buy the other day. I was actually at Best Buy. Yeah. It's a curved 4K screen. What does that do to the...
Well, it enhances your view. Like,
it's supposed to be more immersive, but...
Yeah,
I mean,
for like something like gaming, it does. It's more like for movies, to give you more like a theater-like experience in a smaller space.
So Apple... actually, this is more just tablets in general. Talking about how recently tablet sales have kind of like plateaued. So now Apple and Microsoft are kind of trying to sell tablets as more part of an ecosystem, as less than like a standalone system.
Sure. Like phablets are like cannibalizing. Yeah. Like Apple pretty much sealed the fate of like the iPad Mini when they released the iPhone 6 Plus.
Yeah, but
like there's no need for it at that point.
But like the reason they're still selling the iPad is like obviously people aren't going to take their iPads everywhere and be snapping pictures with it.
Businesses and schools.
A lot of people find it a lot more appealing to be looking at the pictures they took on their iPhone that just sync up with their iPad. Same thing with Microsoft. The Surface is actually doing really well.
Yeah.
Just because of how productive it is and like
the fact that it's a desktop computer.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, but this is kind of leaving out Android in this whole race. even though they take up just dominate the phone market, they are not doing well at all in the tablet market.
It's because like the ecosystem just is sort of just such a mess. Like fragmentation doesn't matter. Like people say fragmentation matters. Google Play Services is behind all of it, so everything's very synced up. So that's a bad argument. But the reason why is because like every different manufacturer's doing this, and this, and it's just all low quality. And people, when they think of Android tablets, they're thinking of the $30 tablets you get at the Walgreens checkout line, and they aren't thinking of the high end like Nexus. The Nexus 9 or whatever, they aren't thinking about that.
Yeah,
they're thinking about the Walmart $30 tablets, which have horrible experience.
I mean,
That's not a valid thing of the whole. It's like how some people think Androids are cheap because they're the things you get at 7-Eleven, the $20
phone. Yeah, I mean, Android, like, that used to be what Android was, and I don't necessarily, but that, like, it, I can see how people would think that if they haven't really been, like, looking at phones. Yeah, for sure. Like, that's all Android used to be, was cheap phones, but, like, it has gotten much better.
Yeah, but Android has become as big as it is from, like, a cheaper, lower-end market.
Yeah,
like,
that's how their market share. Like,
true. But everyone thinks it's that because that's what the majority uses.
Well, I'm not necessarily, yeah, probably.
But actually, you got to blame manufacturers like Samsung for shoving
countries like India and China especially, just Android kills there. They just dominate the market just because, like, cheap Android phones there, especially, like, the ones that, like, look identical to iPhones and stuff.
Yeah, but Windows Phone is actually doing very well in the lower-end market. Like, it's because the Nokia name carries more strength than people realize, especially in a country like India. When you say Nokia, they sit there and go, I'm going to get quality. When you say no-name company, even though these people are, like, in India, you're generally poor buying a $15 phone, you still want quality. Yeah. The Nokia name carries quality, which is the only thing Microsoft had going for.
To put Android versus iOS up, Android takes up 82.3% of the smartphone market, while iOS takes up 13.8%. And I think Windows Phone is slightly behind that.
Windows Phone's at like 3 or 4%.
Yeah, Windows Phone's like maybe like 8% or something. But
yeah.
I do have a question for you guys, though. Kind of concerning, you know, tablets and Macs and everything together. Does the MacBook Air really need to get any thinner? So, I mean, do you think computers need to get any thinner than they are now?
No.
Considering how thin the MacBook Air is?
It's like the new iPad Air. They have, like, a stack of them.
I mean,
it is
so thin, right?
Well, yeah, there's, I mean,
at a certain,
with the current materials they have, no, but, like, I think, I mean, with the use of, like, carbon fiber and stuff and laptops and stuff like that, like, I know the new Dell XPS 13 has carbon fiber.
Oh, yeah, that's a beast laptop there. Yeah,
my brother has one of those, but those have carbon fiber on them with aluminum, but, like, I just think as the materials progress, it's going to change.
Yeah, but at a certain point, though, you got to sit there and think. Like, also, if it's too thin, you're going to start dropping
it. Like, also, you know, thermal, like...
like, it's a piece of... Whoa!
It's so much harder to cool something, and there's way less air around it. So if a laptop has, like, if everything's, like, shrunk in almost to the point where it's, like, airtight, it's going to be so loud because the fans are going to have to work so hard to cool.
But if it's all on, like, ARM-based designs, if you're using ARM designs, like, the nanometers
are just run everything at low voltage, but that wouldn't be very powerful.
There are rumors that Apple wants to use an A8 or an A9 processor in a new MacBook instead of a traditional Intel chip so that they can make it thinner and the battery lasts longer.
I don't feel that being thinner is any... I mean, Apple...
I don't think it needs to get thinner.
Honestly, let me just tell you my opinion. Apple, the past couple of years, have just been making things thinner and thinner and thinner, not really thinking about stuff.
Yeah, no, but like, if it's a little heavy, it feels like solid and good. Like, some things that are heavier, like, they feel solid and good and well made.
Yeah,
when something gets too thin, you're going to say, like, this is cheap. Though it's a $1,000 iPhone,
you're
saying it's too thin.
If you go from, like, an iPhone 6 to, like, an iPhone 3GS, you'll much prefer, like, the feel of an iPhone 6.
Yeah, for sure. But
just because it's all, like, so bulky. I mean, I think phones are at a pretty good width now, but.
But I don't think computers are going to get any thinner because I've actually held... I mean, I've held, you know, those things and those iPad Air... Or,
yeah,
I mean, iMac. The iMac Air or whatever it's called.
iPad Air 2.
Just so thin.
No,
I mean,
iPad Air 2...
It feels like you're holding a piece of aluminum. Like, they're just going to fall.
The iPad Air 2 event that Apple had, I think it was October... they just had stacks of them, and the reviewers were grabbing them, and they dropped them. They just had, like, a stack of them, like, oh, it's a piece of paper. They aren't worth anything.
But
I guess the issue when they get so thin is that, like, oh, they're disposable.
And I do kind of think it speaks to the fact that, you know, when people were getting the new iPhone 6, they were bending them, which,
somewhat bend.
Anybody in their right mind who's bending their phone, but
just from carrying it in your back pocket and
sitting on it and bend around their phone.
Which I think that should be a red flag for Apple. Okay, we don't need to make it any thinner. Let's think about what's on the actual inside and make it a better phone.
Yeah.
You know,
or just like,
It's like how that. iPhones have dual core processors and 1 gig of freaking RAM in 2015.
Like the Samsung S6 came out. It has 3 times the RAM of the iPhone.
Rumors of an S6. It hasn't been announced
core
yet.
8 core CPU.
Yeah, but
this is all rumors, by the way. No, but like actual devices
is,
like
that's
the G Flex
probably
2.
Going to what it has.
But here, let's not speculate on that. But like something like the G Flex 2, it has a Snapdragon 810, 3 gigs of RAM.
Yeah.
Oh, and like the ASUS, the new ASUS Zenfones have 4 gigs of RAM and Intel chips in them.
Yeah.
And it's mind blowing that the phones are on $200. 4 gigs of RAM and an Intel chip.
Is it upgradable to 4 gigs, or did they sell it?
They got no. It's sold with 4 gigs.
Really?
Yeah. That was announced at CES too.
Yeah, but I was looking online here, and it says that the iPhone 6 costs $200 to make, but obviously they're... This is the 16 gigabyte.
It's called business, man.
Yeah, $200. Hey, they're selling it for $649, so I'm thinking maybe they're trying to make it thinner, so it's, you know, less money to make.
I think it's probably going to cost more in the end.
Yeah, no, because they got to shrink their nanometer process.
Yeah, that's
it's going to cost more.
Cheap laptops are usually, unless they're buying
thin...
Yeah. I mean,
because it's cheaper to sit there and buy bulky parts. To make it thinner, you got to sit there and refine your manufacturing processes, this, and that, and that costs money.
Yeah. Like, when I was looking for a new laptop, it's either, like, I mean, you can get, like, a really thin i5 computer that's, like, aluminum and all nice or whatever for, like, $900
or
$800.
Thick i7.
Yeah, or you can get, like, a thick i7 with, like, a dedicated graphics card and all this for the same price. But of course
you're sacrificing portability,
battery life and portability, which I already
have
all that stuff.
Yeah. For someone like me, like I'm all right with an i5 laptop. I have a MacBook Pro and I'm fine with it. It's thin. It can do just about anything we need it to do. Like it can run the full Adobe suite. It might be slower at some things like rendering video, but you can do it on the go. And for someone like me who has a workstation at home, who has an amazing workstation rig at home, like I don't need all that in a laptop. For people who have like one device, I can see the need for it. But at the end of the day, if you're a professional who actually needs something like this, you're gonna have a thin laptop that you can take and do anything anywhere, mock things up at a Starbucks, then you're gonna have a rig back at your office.
See, that's gonna change in the near future.
That is gonna change. Yeah. But like I think the keyboard and mouse thing's gonna start going the way of the dodo a little bit, but like there'll still be lots of people like, especially us three sitting at this table, who will always have computers.
Yeah. So that brings kind of up to the question, like, how, you know, should Sony or companies like that invest more money into security for those kind of things? You know, and how much do you guys think it would cost it to do that? I mean, if they can, if a place in a foreign country can come in and hack one of our things, like...
They wouldn't do it on their own. They would just pay like
contractors
to do it for them.
Sure.
And they could also do that on like a need to use basis. So like, I mean, obviously if they're like under attack, whatever, by like a group of hackers.
NSA, hey, can you get your people on me?
Well, they wouldn't use,
or not the NSA, but like if they're
private contractors. Yeah.
Yeah, especially for the private sector. Like everyone's gone, oh my god, the government needs to protect us. The private sector needs to protect the private sector. Like that's cyber warfare.
No.
So anyway, okay. So
I am all for a United States cyber force. Don't get me wrong.
Oh my god, Bradford. I don't think anyone says that. I'm all for the United States cyber force.
Hey, like,
join Bradford at www.cyberforce.com.
That's not what. No, yeah, it's just cyber warfare, such new uncharted territory. Like, everyone's in there going, how do we tackle this? The Sony hack brought it into perspective.
Yeah.
Well, the Sony hack brought into perspective Americans, like, cyber things for the first time. And, like, most people don't realize, oh my god, cyber can be used as warfare.
It can, and I agree. And actually, not just warfare, but a way for, the industries like the movie industry to lose a lot of money. As you were saying earlier, you know, the Avatar movies were pirated, I don't know, how many times? Like, 200,000 times or whatever?
Millions.
It was
10 million.
10 million. Okay.
I thought it was like 15 million.
Something similar to that. But Sony, you know, how do you, you know, Sony had to take the interview and they had to release it online because so many people were pirating it after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it still made about, I don't know, I think $5 million. I mean, that's nothing.
Yeah.
They've lost so much money off of it. But, I mean...
But a lot of people don't...
people that pirate movies, I think...
Yeah. Well, cybersecurity is going to have to get better, or it's going to ruin, you know, not just
Well, people don't realize how intertwined, like, technology is to everything. Like, grids are hackable. Electric grids.
Yeah.
Like, but people don't realize...
Just, like, take out their power system.
Exactly. Like, an enemy could sit there and just, okay, we'll execute this command or two, and then half the United States is dark.
It's way more complicated than that.
But you...
Especially
just
the country like the U.S., and you look at the size of the NSA...
It'd be the U.S. versus China.
Okay, well, no,
like
but
that.
The NSA gets more money than the FBI and the CIA, so I really think, like, if you've honestly seen their facilities...
I'm not saying it would happen to the U.S. I'm saying it would happen to, like the U.S. would sit there and attack someone else, you know?
Yeah. Okay, but I actually have a cool story that'll kind of steer us out of that tech stuff and trying to get into some interesting stuff here. So we have this new trailer by MTV. It's a movie called Unfriended. And I'll just give you guys a backstory here.
Is this the thing with the Skyping
call? Yeah, this thing with a Skype call. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so it starts off, the trailer, this woman is killed or something like that. Maybe she commits suicide.
Because she posted a picture online and couldn't get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone, everything's permanent on the internet. Instagram, if your Instagram is private, your Facebook is private. It's not private. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Your Snapchats aren't deleted after they disappear.
Oh, no, I've actually heard lots about that.
All that stuff.
So anyway, so apparently today's the anniversary of her death. I'm just going to give you guys a little clip of what's happening here.
This is a fake story, though, right? Is this true?
No, this is a fake story, but it's a real movie. I mean, this is coming out. We'll also put that in, you know, I think, if you go to our website, what's it called?
Peakpodcast.com.
We're still working on it, but we will have today's podcast with all the links and stuff we kind of talked about. If you guys want to go check out more.
Yeah, for sure. We'll be on iTunes soon within a couple of
weeks. Hopefully, but we're looking at SoundCloud right now because
SoundCloud seems like a better
iTunes is free to be on, so we will get
yeah. Okay. So anyway, so here's a clip from the trailer and then we'll show you guys more of it, but here it goes.
They should use Google Hangouts.
Yeah, they should use Google
Hangouts. Yeah, Google Hangouts. Which seats are better,
balcony or orchestra? Okay, so we got a lot of people in here on a Skype call, and so somebody's calling him. I don't know. It says unknown. This is probably a glitch. Guess who? So it's the kid. So it's the kid. It's the person that, you know, came in and did that. So, So anyway, so they're on Skype, and that person comes in and starts messaging them and stuff.
Yeah,
and there's been so many parodies of people like, why don't you just hang up Skype? They all keep dying. The one of them gets their hand put in a blender. Somebody gets microwaved.
Yeah,
I mean,
this is
it's
so
weird.
I mean, I like to look at movies realistically like that, just to like show.
Yeah, it shows how technology's intertwined in our lives, that's not gonna happen.
You can't look at movies like this and do it.
But let me just tell you, this movie was shot on a screen capture. Like, this movie probably cost, I don't know, $10 to make, $10.50.
Yeah, hey, let me get out my
right?
$10 American bill.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, oh, God. I mean, if you guys want to check it out, look it up. It's Unfriended, posted by MTV, and that's just crazy. Yeah, so, oh, wow. What is this, your permit?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Oh, you got a plastic one, no way.
Well, I don't have my permit because, you know.
You just gotta do it on your phone. Just pick an app and do it on your phone. Like, that's another way technology's intertwined with our lives. You can sit there and do things like driver's ed on your phone. You used to, like, do it at high school as a class, and now you sit on your phone, play with an app for 8 hours, and you have a driver's license.
Yeah, I mean, it's so tough to do it. But hey, I.
How is it tough? You just gotta sit there and click through the
buttons. I know.
Step by step.
I mean,
go to the DMV.
What I did was, I mean, I go on there and I have a quiz for every thing, and I failed each one, and they made me go back and read.
See, mine,
it, so.
Mine, you can just clip through.
Yeah, you just click through.
You can't. Yeah, we can't. I can't. I'm gonna
have to
get the
such
app
a low.
Yeah, just get Aceable. The app is called Aceable. It's only for iOS. So for us Android guys over here, we have to go get our mom's iPads. But I'm actually currently rocking an iPhone 6 Plus. My review will come out for within a couple weeks on hphsmedia.com if you guys want to listen. And
hey,
check it out. But
okay, so I do have something I want to talk about here. I'm interested to hear what you guys want to say. Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings? There's our annual debate of the day. Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings?
Debate of the day.
I'm not really opinionated on either of these.
That makes no sense.
Oh, come on. Lord of the Rings wins.
Okay, so we're doing Apple. Let's do our first opinions on the Apple Watch as it's starting to mature.
Oh, my. Ugh.
And talk about it versus Android Wear and the different approaches they're taking to doing things.
Yeah, no, the Apple Watch doesn't really hold anything to Android Wear.
One thing.
Especially, like,
I do have to admit.
Is it 100% waterproof? Like, can you?
I'm not sure. I think it's got IP67. I bet.
Yeah, but, see, that's what all the Android watches have, except for the Samsung one. I think you can actually go like swimming.
But the interesting thing about like the Apple Watch is that Android Wear is going more of a push notifications to your wrist. The Apple Watch is going run apps actually on your wrist. Two different approaches. I do like how Apple is putting an NFC chip in the watch so that you don't have to pull out your phone to
pay with it. I don't get NFC to the phone and then do like the watch.
I think all the Android Wear watches should have NFC chips in them. It doesn't cost more than a couple bucks.
Why doesn't they NFC like reach further or something?
So for security reasons, because if I was like this to this, someone could sit down, grab a receiver, and grab your credit card number. But things like Apple Pay and Google Wallet do randomize the credit card number, so it's one use, so it doesn't even matter. But
I don't know. I don't really think that Apple Watch is.
It looks really thick. You know what it looks like?
If you look at like the.
I'm shocked they didn't go with a round design. They should have gone with like a Moto 360 round design.
The
no
Moto
bezel.
360, or I know a friend who's getting the Asus Zen watch pretty soon. I think that is the smartwatch I would get. Everyone comes with like a really nice leather.
But the
band.
Apple is made in 18 karat gold.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, so Apple's installing
really
safes. Though.
Like, how much is that one?
I don't know, it's going to be thousands. They haven't announced pricing, but so Apple is putting in safes in their stores and training people how to secure it as if like a jewelry store. Because did you know Apple makes more money than Tiffany and Company, the famous jeweler, by like over like a couple thousand dollars per square foot? Apple makes more money than Tiffany and Company.
Where are you hearing
that
this?
That is true. Google. Apple makes more money per square foot than Tiffany.
We're fact check.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, Peak Podcast fact check. No, okay, that's not that. But I said it anyways. Whatever.
No idea what you're even talking about. Okay, so what are y'all looking forward to in the meantime? What are y'all looking forward to 2015-wise for movies? What movie are you guys looking forward to the most out of this year?
I heard a Tron 3 is coming around soon.
Tron 3? Oh my gosh, that has got to be the worst answer I've ever heard.
There's going to be like a Toy Story 4, isn't there? Oh no, I'm excited Pixar's coming back. They sort of went into hibernation for a while. I can't wait for Pixar to come out.
Pixar. Whoa. I'm actually, okay, you know what I'm
saying? Hey, come on, man, don't trash Pixar. Pixar's the
tell me what movie you're interested in and I'll probably be like, oh, that sounds
cool. You know what I'm actually looking forward to? Jurassic World. Even though Jurassic Park 3 sucked, Jurassic World sounds great.
When's that coming out?
That's coming out in a
couple weeks.
No, oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? No.
Yeah, it's a couple weeks.
No, June 12th, 2015.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
June 12th, 2015. Hunger Games Part 2. I'm actually looking forward to it.
Meh.
Hunger Games.
We were talking about this earlier. They're stretching the series too far out. They just keep stretching it out.
Well, you know something else? Spectre?
Apple, you're right. Apple does double the sales per square foot. Apple
of Tiffany.
A movie, Spectre, coming out. It's the next James Bond movie. Mm-hmm. Script was actually leaked with the Sony hat, by the way.
Yeah.
Script
was leaked. Sony got screwed. Like, Annie?
Annie sucked anyway.
Annie, Fury,
absolutely horrible.
And like two or three movies that haven't even come out yet are already hanging out.
Annie deserved to be.
So you can just go ahead and torrent these movies that haven't even come out. Well, it's like, what the heck?
I don't get the torrenting crowd for kids' movies. It seems like if you're interested in kids' movies, like that's kind of weird. Really young and you're torrenting, which is pretty awful, but like.
And so the Fantastic Four actual teaser trailer came out a couple weeks ago.
I'm excited.
And I actually have some cool things.
Furious 7, Fast and Furious 7.
Oh god, Fast and Furious 7 versus Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four wins.
Fast and Furious 7.
Hey, come on,
dude.
Man,
Fast and Furious 7.
Fast and Furious movies, they're like so stupid.
That's another series they keep stringing out.
I mean, they can't stop though. I mean, the box office.
You're now at 7. No, but like Tokyo Drift was awesome.
Bradford. But actually, my cousin was in Fantastic Four.
I haven't seen any.
The new
I thought you meant Fast and Furious.
No.
The new
Fantastic Four trailer's been out. It's obviously going to be a lot better.
So what is
Fantastic Four
about?
Well, okay, so the Fantastic Four is
it about cars?
No, it's not about cars. It's actually a superhero movie. I'll play a clip. So you guys can hear a little bit of it, but if you go look it up, Fantastic Four. So my cousin was actually in it. She was Sue Storm's doctor, which is actually one of like the main characters.
Jake has a lot of cousins.
Maybe we can have them. Maybe we can have her come in here and we can do a little, you know, talk about the set of the film one day.
Yeah. So while we're on this topic, if anyone wants to sponsor the show, please go to peakpodcast.com.
Oh my gosh, Bradford! Wow.
No, I'm serious. Great plug. You guys want to?
Wow, that was very seamless. I like guys... how you just stuck that in there right with Fantastic Four.
No, but for in all honesty, if you guys want to sponsor the show,
we have your small business out, on here. I mean, we love.
Yeah,
to talk
we
about
we
it.
Would love to sit down and talk about it and. Review, or if you have a product, we'd be happy to review it and yeah. things like that.
But I do think that our podcast could have some interviews coming up. We
yeah,
actually
for sure. like,
actually know somebody from the parody film The Starving Games, which is a parody of The Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah.
They could come in and interview, as well as my cousin. And some interesting things have been happening on the Fantastic Four set. The director is actually 29 years old.
That's
and he was discovered
young.
A couple years ago after he did this film called Chronicle. Oh, apparently, he came in, he smoked weed, he came into the set. Okay, he started destroying thousands and thousands. This is speculation. Destroyed thousands of dollars of worth of stuff, and then the Fox executive had to come out and apologize to the whole crew. So we've been hearing a lot of bad stuff about that director, but the trailer actually looks pretty cool. If you guys want to hear a little bit of that trailer, but yeah, hopefully we can have somebody come in and maybe do an interview on that. I'm interested to hear about. You know that person. So here's a little clip of it.
Sacrifice. And there are consequences.
Yeah, so that looks awesome. And if you guys want to go check out the trailer, there's going to be a link somewhere on our website. So if you guys want to go check that out. It looks a lot better than the original, which the original...
I didn't see either. Was the original good?
No. The original was horrible, actually.
No, but... So while we're sitting here talking about directors, one thing, the Sundance Film Festival just wrapped up in Park City, Utah, and one of the best films of Sundance was shot with an iPhone 5S.
And that's great. I've actually heard a lot of people, you know, shooting movies on phones like that.
Yeah, especially
or like
iPhones.
GoPros, because, too.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen
yeah.
a lot with that, too.
Oh, I love the action things with GoPros.
And if you go, yeah. I mean, if you go look in modern movies, even there's even a shot in a... The new Avengers trailer with a GoPro in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, like GoPros and drones, like the new DJI Phantoms and stuff. You can sit there and get shots that you could never, like amateurs, like who aren't Hollywood, could get shots that were never before possible until a couple years ago, because now you can get a drone for only a couple thousand dollars.
Those were huge at CES this year, too. Drones were massive. It was drones, OLED screens, and 3D printing. Like,
and what something cool is that, you know, those cameras are so lightweight and versatile that you can use them in any way. And I actually had one on my phone and I did a time lapse and I was able to start and stop it with my phone. So it was pretty good there. Able to control it on your phone so you can hook it up anywhere and then
also
you can see a preview.
The GoPros can shoot really slow at 4K too. So it's like
you can do 30 FPS, I think, with the new Hero 4. You can do 30 FPS.
I thought it was a little bit slight. Somebody told me his could shoot like,
you
can, like 20 something.
You can do 30. No, but you can do like slow-mo on a GoPro. You can get down to 240 frames a second, which is slow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So it is cool. What have you guys heard about the new Oscar host this year, Neil Patrick Harris?
Who's
Nothing?
Who is
you
that
know
guy?
Who Neil Patrick Harris is? He's the new Oscar host this year, replacing Ellen DeGeneres from last year, which I thought she was great.
Oh, speaking of things like that, I learned this week that the John Green who wrote Fault in Our Stars is the same John Green who did Crash Course and Mental Floss.
Really?
No idea.
Yeah, it is the same John Green.
I have no idea. And so we have an episode of What Scott's Watch coming out about that on hphsmedia.com on Monday if you want to.
Wow, so many plugs from Bradford. Jeez. Go watch this. Hey, go check out my
I'm the
review.
Business guy. I'm the business guy here. So it's sort of my responsibility to do this, but...
Apparently. Doing a pretty good job there. Working in, sponsorships within the Fantastic Four story. That was interesting.
Wow, bro.
While we're on the subject of this,
let me say something else. I'm remotely stupid. Yeah, I don't have anything else to say.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so I can do that.
Yeah, go ahead.
We'll do this one last quickie.
So, I know I especially have this problem, as all my fellow Android users out there
probably
do.
not syncing with their MacBooks.
You're scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and suddenly your device has stopped working. And
just, get an iPhone.
It's the worst, okay?
iPhone.
This isn't hopefully enough to make you quit using Android, because we all know Android's better. But anyways, here's some tips I found to quit making your Android phone lag or freeze up or crash. So these are the main reasons: is too many running apps that hog your memory. You also want to keep notice that also if you're clearing apps from your memory, that's also can use up more battery.
Yeah, like things like CleanMaster and stuff. They say we're going to save your battery, we're going to clear your cache. But
there's a reason your cache is there, to make your device run faster and not use as much battery. Because if you're constantly opening the app back up, having the memory for it saved actually saves a lot of battery.
No, but like things like, we aren't saying go delete CleanMaster. It's good to use like once a week or something, because apps do like things like Instagram and Flipboard just start piling megabytes and megabytes of junk.
Yeah.
Of like stuff, so you need to go clear it every now and then, but don't clear it every 5 minutes. Like, oh my god, my phone's running slow. Let me go clear my cache. That'll make it more slow.
Back on this is low internal storage. Outdated software is one of the big things. Playing games for a long time. I know I've had this problem with both phones. Android phones. I've had my S3, and now I have the Moto X.
2014.
it's the second gen with the wood back and all that, but. Playing games because it overheats and then underclocks and then lags it out and whatever. But also malware and antivirus is kind of bad for that. So that's my little segment on Android phones lagging up.
Yeah, and so now we're reaching the end of the podcast. But if you guys want to leave comments on our website, and tell us what you want next. And actually, I think it'd be kind of interesting to be able to interview.
True. Yeah, or shout out to us on Twitter. We have a Peak Podcast Twitter, don't we?
We do. What is the...
I think it's at Peak Podcast, isn't it?
It should be on the website. It should but if you be.
Yeah, we'll figure
there,
it out. We'll get it set up. So yeah, shout out to us on Twitter.
Yeah, let us know what you want us to talk about later on. We also... or trying to figure out, maybe we can have people to interview. I don't know.
If you guys want to hear cars.
Yeah, let us know what you want to hear out of the podcast. We'll be able to make it happen.
Yeah, anything related to tech, movies, or if you want cars, let us know.
Okay, see you guys in the next episode. Bye.